Welcome to the Health Connective Show. I'm your host, Michael Roberts, joined by my co-host, Ashley Hohenzi. Today, we've got Marnie Hayaton back on the show. If you haven't listened to our past episodes with Marnie, she is the founder of Writing.Health, and we've had her on multiple times to talk through different things that medtech companies need to consider when writing content. Marnie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much and welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk about what to do when you need to pivot the messaging for your company. This could be because you're going through a major change, you're adding a new product, maybe you're expanding your product line. Maybe you just need to tweak something that isn't working with your target audience. In any of those cases, there are more factors at play that you need to consider. Probably more things that you need to consider than you might even think there. So when a medtech company is deciding to change its messaging, there's usually a lot of people involved, a lot more people involved than what you would normally have if it was just like a copywriting process. So how does that process need to start? There's a lot of cats to herd here, a lot of people to get on the same page. So what do they need to do to get started on the right foot there?
Oh, that's such a great question. So the first thing is that you really want to help everyone get invested in the process. So the marketing team is likely pretty excited about the change, but there are going to be people in the room who are not excited about the change or not comfortable with change in general. You may have in the room the person who created the original messaging and they're kind of getting their feelings hurt that we're trashing their old messaging. You could have a sales rep who's really, really comfortable with the messaging and, you know, they're very worried that this is going to change their sales process or they're going to have to learn a new system. So you want to just kind of take a Marie Kondo moment, thank the messaging for its service, spin it positive, let it go, and help everyone understand that this represents growth for your company. And this is an exciting moment that everyone's part of.
Yeah, so there definitely are those, you know, we were talking about this just before we went live, that there are like the good times to change messaging, and then there's the not so great times to change messaging. So how have you seen that kind of play out, you know, in terms of like helping companies kind of reevaluate that process and think through it? We recently went through some times where I was trying to pitch this as one thing, and it was just kind of leaving people confused. And so there's definitely this kind of give and take, I think, that every company has to go through when trying to find on what's the right messaging for today. We had a recent guest, Aaron Hassan, come on that talked about companies need to be reevaluating the needs of their customers every 6 months. And so this is something that, you know, you can't just have one message go forever. You really do have to think through like what's going to resonate right now.
Definitely. I really like to think in terms of being responsive to market conditions rather than reactive. So a good example of responsive is like during COVID, when a lot of medtech companies pivoted their messaging to be more supportive rather than fear. So if you were doing cybersecurity, it wasn't about being afraid of attacks. It was, we have your back. So that's a really good example of taking a thoughtful approach and being responsive. Reactive is the CEO was meeting with someone at the, you know, end of the sales cycle and got some feedback and now wants to change the tagline of the company. That's reactive. So you want to kind of make sure that you're taking a very thoughtful approach to whatever you're doing.
Before, when we were talking about this topic, you mentioned that it's important to address what doesn't change. And why do you think that's such an important thing?
Yes. You know, I love this question because when people are changing their message, they're so focused. Your new messaging may be like a couple of sentences or a new paragraph that's on your website or something. So people are really focused in getting that new message right. You have to remember, don't forget to say, this is what my product does. People sometimes throw that messaging out because they're so focused on getting the new piece right that they forget to say, this is what we do, this is what we stand for. And you don't want to make someone feel like, is this a new company? Have you totally refocused? You want to make sure that it just layers on top of the old messaging. It doesn't replace the old messaging.
Yeah. In one of our previous episodes, we had talked about sort of those like core proponents, like, hey, this is, you know, what you as a company believe. This is what you, you know, want to put out there as a consistent like reminder of who you are. I think that like some of the conversations that we've had with people when it's come to our own messaging or when it's potentially practices that Ashley and Scott work with, you know, in terms of trying to think through the way they position themselves as a company, as a practice and everything. That process of like, I don't know, becoming this personality shifting schizophrenic kind of company where you're kind of saying you're one thing over here and saying you're another thing over there. It seems like it would be a big challenge for companies to either not leave their own stakeholders feeling that way or not leaving customers feel that way. Have you seen companies struggle through that process?
Yeah, I really have. I have seen, for example, I mentioned the tagline. So I've seen a case where a company thinks they need a new tagline because they want to talk to nurses now or something like that. And really what they need is a new persona or one white paper. So they definitely get confused and start thinking that everything has to change because they want to pivot to a new area or a new focus. So making sure that you're not throwing everything out and changing everything, that you have a very layered and detailed approach to this.
Well, I was sitting in on a session this past week. There's a couple of interesting insights that came out of it. And, you know, one of the things that he talked about was, first of all, they went through a branding and messaging kind of like revamp that they had to go through. So the first thing that they did was really narrow down. So they had to kind of like eschew a lot of things. Like, we're no longer we're no longer the everything company. We are very specifically this. That's one big challenge that you go through. You know, one of the things that he kind of talked about was like that challenge that salespeople are running into of like, I had so much more opportunity to sell, right, to all the people, and now you only want me to be this. And so just that tension that does go from just a quick like shift in how you're marketing yourselves really does has a lot of impact along the way. One of the things that I'll just say kind of as we're talking through all of this, if you're a marketer trying to think through the whole spectrum of this, how you're going to roll it out to your salespeople, how you're going to do the things that you need to focus on as a company, is that he really did back his conversations with salespeople around sort of like, hey, and this is what you're going to get out of it, salesperson. This is the kind of result, which does kind of lead into this next question around, you've mentioned this importance of aligning on why you're changing. And so for them, it was like, hey, we can't be the everything company. We have to be this one particular procedure, really help with this one. And then we can kind of expand back out from there. As you've seen this process happen, and as you've kind of like worked through this, like how have you seen the why, the reasoning behind all of this stuff really impact the end result for companies? How have you seen that play out?
It's very much about figuring out the business case and understanding specifically what it is that you are looking to do. So it's kind of like, where in the funnel is that messaging changing? You know, are you finding that you're not getting traction in the market as a whole, and you need some bigger picture messaging, and that might be top of the funnel things that change? Or is there one specific criticism that you're getting towards the end of the funnel and just one FAQ thing or one sheet kind of a thing just for the sales team could really answer that question? So you don't need to be creating content. When you have a pivot, you don't necessarily change the content all the way through. You want to change just the content that makes a difference. And understanding that business case tells you where the problem is and where you want to address an issue.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like some of our episodes that we do together, Marnie, turn into like therapeutic sessions for me, because I'm just like confessing all my marketing problems that I'm having with you, that I'm having as a marketer, and you just help guide me through. But the whole like schizophrenic thing, I think as companies are trying to find like what resonates, it does feel just like, man, am I just leaving myself as this kind of like, I'm whoever you want me to be kind of thing. And you know, you can kind of like lose touch with that. And I think that one thing that we consistently see as in these conversations that we're having together is sort of this framework and this kind of comprehensive overview that people need to step back and take. It's so easy to just get caught up in this sales effort and this next campaign. And so I really appreciate that about the way that you're thinking through these things, and I hope other marketers getting the chance to kind of think through this as well, because it is easy. One of the things that I've played around with in terms of just messaging and kind of like ways that we might be able to help people through shows like these and these kinds of things is like helping people move from hectic to strategic. And that's really what you're talking about here. Like, this is a consistent framework, a consistent way of engaging all of these ideas. And it doesn't have to feel so nutty. I think that I've definitely like, one of the kinds of things that we kind of take away from sometimes from having interacted with different marketers is like, man, this poor person, they just seem like they're running from this meeting, to this demand, to that one. And everybody just seems frayed. So I think getting the chance to step back and really like looking at this as a whole instead of just these individual components.
It's really hard though, because the person who wants to change the messaging wants to change it now.
Yes.
It's really difficult to balance that and to say, and that's, we get back to that sort of responsive versus reactive, because they want to change it now, and being agile is really good. Like, you want to be able to move quickly, but you want to be able to move thoughtfully. And sometimes that's where the balance is for the marketing team, is to, you know, the sales team might want to move at one pace, the CEO wants to move at another pace, and kind of getting everybody at the sweet spot of the right cadence of that, or the right speed, is difficult. it's a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I guess, playing into that, like Michael said too, it's just herding all the cats, getting all these different personalities together. And ultimately, you have to get buy-in from everybody and make sure that the messaging does work for everybody. So how should a med tech company go about doing that, making soliciting that feedback?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to do, what's in vogue right now are the big meetings where everybody has a brainstorming session. And as an aside, I would encourage people not to get caught up with the tools so that you end up after a 4-hour session with like 6 words that reflect us, you know. So I'm a little wary of leery of the big tools. But what I really like to do is a combination of a group meeting, but then individual sessions, because there are people who will not say, you know, that was Dave's idea. I am not going to tell him it's a bad idea. So you want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to meet with you individually, and you can collect anonymous feedback and bring that to the group, but also really have the energy and the dynamism, or is that a word? The dynamics effect of having everybody in a room together. So you really want that combination of the two types of information gathering.
This is really reminding me some of a book that I listen to audiobooks sometimes. I've got kids. It's hard to sit down and read books anymore. But listening through a book on the concept of agile marketing, and they talk about this tension that you're kind of talking about, this responsive versus reactive, trying to incorporate different personalities and different ideas. And it is challenging. I'm definitely the type to get in a room, like in one of these brainstorming session kinds of things, and not share anything. It's not the first thing that I want to do is like, well, listen to my idea. And you're right. Like, once an idea is out there, now you're either challenging it, you know, so there's this whole like power play dynamic that starts up, and it's just, it can work for some groups. It's not my fave. I don't love it. It's not my fave.
So. I don't see it work out often very well.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking over each other.
I've noticed for myself, if there are more than 6 people in a meeting, I don't say a word. That seems to be my threshold of comfort.
Yeah.
There was, who was it? Amazon. They had I guess earlier on, or even today, they have like a 2 pizza rule. And it's like, no more people in a meeting than can be fed by 2 pizzas. Anything more than that, you've got too many people. And so, and depending on who's eating, if it's me there, like, I'm going to take a good chunk of one of those pizzas. So you definitely have to like reduce the number of people. Let's talk about rolling out messaging, because there's all kinds of challenges that can come with that. You know, as we were kind of going through some of a brainstorming session for this particular episode, and we were talking through some of the ideas that we could talk through with this, you do have so many different people that have to buy in, that have to give some sort of agreement to it. And this can be the benefit of working for a small company. It can be the mega challenge of working for one of the big players that's out there. But how do you make sure that messaging is implemented consistently and still makes sense? Because the salesperson is going to have a different scenario than just what your banner ad is going to do, or your email campaign. The different people are going to have to be more dynamic with that messaging along the way. How have you seen companies, and how have you advised companies as they've gone through that process?
So it's helpful if one person or department can be in charge of it. If it's a large organization, you're going to need to probably publish some rules. If it's a small organization, maybe everything that's put out there can go through that person or team. The reason why you need to do that is, one of the things that we joked about before was, non-writers can kind of mess up messaging. So for example, there was a time years ago where we talked about not using the word provider. There was a time when physicians were feeling like, you know, they didn't like being called provider, but there are times when you really need to use that. We ended up having a team member that wanted to take provider out of absolutely every possible context. So that's not helpful. You need to have one person that kind of shows where it works and can oversee, this is the case where we're going to change this to clinician, and this is the case where we let it go.
Yeah, it's funny. There was, again, kind of sitting in on the session from last week, this was one particular marketing director was talking about, marketing VP was talking about how there were certain phrases that they wanted to use as often as possible. And he even talked about pulling his sales team aside before a big meeting and saying, these are the words you're going to use on a consistent basis in your conversations. And I don't think I've ever heard it directed to that specifically. I find it interesting, and I know that Ashley does as well, of like, how do we find different ways to say things? How do we express these ideas in a different way? Because if you're just, and my wife is an English major, and so she's also my sometimes editor and will call me out on this, which is amazing. And that's why I ask her to read it. But if you're saying the same thing over and over, that's a writing faux pas. You're supposed to fix that. You're not supposed to keep doing that. It is interesting. I mean, for writers, for all the different personality types that come together, it's a real challenge to find that happy medium. Have you seen real heavy holdouts on those kinds of things? And maybe like what kinds of processes have you seen had to go into like trying to find a happy medium for people?
One of the challenges is that sometimes you'll get some messaging like that and you've got somebody hanging on to a phrase or something, but it doesn't work well. It's hard to find ways to say it differently. And so you end up having customer service written 14 times on the same web page, or we're transparent with our customers and it's the same way. So sometimes when you can make a chart and show them in practice, like, this is where it gets complicated when you try to flip that sentence or you try to approach it. Non-writers, it's tricky because you don't really understand until you try to put that in a sentence that it can be difficult to put that in a sentence. So sometimes a visual where you really show like, these are all the ways I want to use it. And this is why this phrase may be complicated this way, or this is why I want to adjust it in when I'm doing it in this context. So visuals and showing examples really helps a lot, but there definitely are always holdouts that feel like, no, you said we're going to phrase it this way, and this is the way we have to phrase it.
Yeah, I like that. One of the things that I've dealt with in my background, and certainly Ashley has too, writing for search engine optimization, right? And this is what we would call keyword stuffing, and you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to avoid that. Find those alternate phrases that work, but it is interesting to have to think through that in all the different contexts. If you write it this way, look at how many times you're saying it. And then the truly dynamic challenge of working with the sales team, and for those that maybe just focus on copywriting and don't get that chance to really get the opportunity to kind of see like some of that role-playing exercise that salespeople may have to do, some of that kind of stuff where you're having to figure out on the spot how to respond to people, I think it really does open your eyes up into a lot of different challenges that you may not have anticipated, even with very well-intentioned copywriting, that you're going to find that like, oh, I didn't know that Dr. Smith would ask that question. I didn't know that you'd have to try to figure that out on the fly. So I want to connect this concept some with some of the other ideas that we've talked about. Because there's, again, you've got your own company that you're running. This is something you do for a living. It's not just a hobby that you talk about. So one of the things that we've talked about in previous episodes is when to introduce certain ideas. You know, we talked about like, you don't want to throw all the features at somebody, you don't want to throw. So there's this very definitely this kind of layering on of when to introduce certain ideas. How does that factor in as you're thinking about, okay, you're going to make these shifts to your messaging? You talked about sometimes it's a single white paper that needs to change versus everything that needs to change. Have you been able to use that with companies to like reassure people, to calm people down? In terms of like, yes, we are going to be able to introduce your new idea, but no, not everything has to change. I'm just kind of curious how that plays out on a day-to-day basis with people.
It can be tricky. It really can, because they expect to see it right away. Mm. Sometimes that plays into where you have CEOs, for example, like internally, we get sick of our messaging before customers are sick of our messaging. So reminding them that certain things may take a little longer to put in, or this new message doesn't belong in the top of the funnel at all, even though you want to see it, they still just need to understand what it is that we do before they're even remotely ready to get to this mid-funnel idea. So it can be really difficult to kind of introduce that, but the best way is to try and map out the different assets and what are the goals of the different assets, and then it becomes easier to see where those messages fit in your whole menu of assets.
Is it tough to get people to slow down enough to do that mapping?
It is. And I think that's probably the age old thing with marketing. Nobody listens to us sometimes. So it can be really difficult. How do you guys handle when you know that you have some advice that you can give, but nobody really is quite ready to hear it? How do you guys deal with that in your teams?
Ashley, I'm going to let you handle that one first. Let you respond to that question. Because we deal with very different audiences. You know, I'm working more with med tech companies, but Ashley, as you're dealing with medical practices, how are you seeing those kinds of?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the audience. I feel like I always kind of have to tailor the approach. It's like for some people, you have to just get on the phone and talk through the whole thing. For others, it's like maybe you have to show them like some kind of data. Some people don't get it until they see it. When it's words on paper, I know we've had discussion too, I'm sure on your side too, Michael. It's like, when you see the words on paper, it doesn't really click until they see it fully implemented. And then sometimes you have to go back and revise after that point. So it really just depends.
That is definitely an issue that I find, no matter how many graphic notes I make or how much I try to vary copy size so that they can see this is a headline, this is a CTA, they still can't visualize it until there's a picture on it and it's on the website and now they get it.
Yes. And then you go back and revise. And sometimes we try to be more efficient that way, but it doesn't always work out, right?
It's funny because sometimes I end up being the client in a way with our company, and I'll make a request to our team. Hey, I'd like to see us update the homepage this way. And I tell you, there's nothing that makes me gain more empathy for customers than when I request something and I get it back and it's like, they did exactly what I asked. I mean, they like to the letter, like this is so well thought out. This all makes sense the way that they approached it and they were consistent. And I just didn't know what I was asking for. And I asked for the wrong thing. I asked for something that doesn't make sense or doesn't hit the mark in quite the way that I thought. There's just a very recent example where we had a page on our website where we had like a consultation package. And it was something that we were trying to introduce because application development is very complex. And so we were trying to say like, hey, if you just want to talk for a few hours, here's this package that you can hire us to do. And, you know, it'll be this kind of simple thing. And then we ended up getting rid of that package. And so I had asked Ashley to help me to kind of think through, like, can we still salvage this page and use it as sort of an introductory process into, and this is why you should contact us. And it just became this overly complicated way to just say, like, I just want to talk to you. Can you just get all this mess out of the way?
Yeah.
And just let me talk to you. And it wasn't until I am the client that makes the request that goes like, that didn't make sense the way that I thought it would.
We haven't talked about, this reminds me, words and visuals. So the words that I like without visuals are entirely different than when we add the visual. So you want them to match. So something, if we add a picture, I might completely change that headline because it ties in with that image. But you're approving the copy without the visuals sometimes. And so you have to sort of build that in that, well, yes, we did approve that phrase, but it would be so much stronger now if we could link to the image that it would, let's tweak it to link to the image. So the flexibility there, it makes sense to marketing people. We get that. But the rest of the team is like, no, you said this was the approved headline.
Right.
But now we have this great image and I want to match it. So
regular listeners may have heard me lament a mistake that I've made recently or a process that we went through recently, which was doing some copy testing. We put together sort of a quick landing page. And I just, my focus was completely the words on the page. And we put together some imagery around it, and imagery matched up with what we were saying, but it really wasn't my main focus. And so we put together this landing page and we ran some message testing. We were able to identify, we actually used a service called Winter for marketers that are out there trying to figure out like, hey, how do I test this messaging before I really push it far and wide? It was a company called Winter. It's WYNTR. I don't know why it has a Y in there, but it does. And what it let us do was it let us select an audience of, actually, was it like, I don't remember what audience we picked. I know it was healthcare, but like what level?
It was the specific kind of like mid-level.
Mid-management kind of stuff.
Yeah, mid-management, EPs, yeah.
But they let us do that.
Yeah.
Our first test, and I just want to, we can be fully transparent. I think it was like somewhere around $600, $700. It was basically half price of whatever their like ongoing testing is. We got like 15 different participants to go through and review a page for us. So really interesting, you know, we don't want to focus too much on the tools, but if there are ways that, you know, people are looking to start kind of testing these ideas before you get to your customers and before you have your customers end up scratching their heads and everything, this is a process that we use. And so we get the messaging out there. And again, I'm just focused on the text and I feel like I've got a good pitch. And probably what I had when you're talking about like sort of that full analysis and the full funnel, I probably had like a third layer down white paper or like additional email, right? And I was very much positioning it as a top of the funnel, this is who we are as a company kind of thing. And so what happens with the Winter service is that you say, this is what I want to do. Can you give me feedback on it? And participants get paid some amount that I'm not sure because we don't see like what the final rates are to them or whatever, but Winter connects us with an audience, the audience gets paid something, and then they go through and they give us feedback. And some of them were nice in their feedback and showing me like gentle ways that I could fix things. And then some of them were much more blunt. I think one person even asked if I was a native English speaker, you know, like to that degree. Like, I don't know if you saw that level of feedback. I will say that the good thing is about Winter in particular is that they had like sort of AI summaries that you could take from all of that feedback and say like, hey, people consistently had a problem with this. People consistently liked this. People were mixed about this part. One of the things that we kind of talk about as a company is that we feel the fact that we are a small company that's very personable, that's kind of a more boutique approach, like we feel like that's useful. Some people did not. They thought that doesn't matter to me at all. And then some people were like, I love that you're talking about this. All of that to say, I very definitely empathize again with the people that try to make too big a change and just kind of miss like where they're supposed to be making that change. Like it was some very blunt feedback in terms of where and how I could make those approaches. Cause my copy got, and this is like, I'll take full credit for this cause I wrote every bit of this copy. Like it was too buzzwordy. It was, you know, didn't really connect with the images enough. It didn't do this. It didn't do this. And that's tough to hear sometimes. And it's tough to integrate. We talked about kind of the skewing tools as the main focus, but I guess like, have you seen tools play well into this process? Winter is one that we can, you know, that marketers can consider, but have you seen other tools that kind of help companies go through this process, whether it's the testing, whether it's just kind of thinking through how to make it all happen, or how's that worked out?
I don't have too much information in this area. I haven't used tools too often.
Okay.
So I don't know.
You just bring your framework and you make it happen. I love it.
It's all about people and talking. So, but I know that it's very helpful for the internal teams to be able to assemble it in some way. And I think everybody uses a different way to assemble it. The ones that I'm kind of skeptical of, not a big fan of the word clouds or the ones where you end up with, you know, six words, as I mentioned before. So some of those, I think they seem like you're getting something usable, but if you really think about it, it's not so usable. So
do you have, I guess, as you're talking through this kind of stuff with people, do you have like the six word advocates that just go really hard on that? Is that stuff that you have to kind of like walk people back on? Like, hey, cool that you've used it in the past, but let's try a different approach. Or how's that played out?
That's a good question. Yeah, I definitely think there are some. More often, I get the other side, actually. More often, I get a client who has worked with a consultant who did something like that and came out with a big PowerPoint, felt like they invested a whole lot of time and realized they didn't actually have messaging to work with. They just had like feelings about what our brand wants to convey, but they didn't feel like they came out with messaging. So I think I've seen that a little more often.
So if you end up with, okay, let's say the company has gone through that process. They now have a collection of six feelings or they have whatever it was that the consultant sort of ended up with that they gave them. Do you help them from that step? Can you help them from that step? Is that useful or is that just kind of like, that's nice, but let's go focus on this instead. Like, how do you handle those kinds of conversations when you get there?
We can definitely still use it. We definitely, it's always helpful for them to understand kind of what they want to convey and what the emotions are. It's always helpful even just to know things like we want to be authoritative, but friendly. You know, those kinds of things are extremely helpful when we are starting to write things, but we've got to go to that next step and actually give them words, you know, give them phrases and write the new tagline and the PR boilerplate and things like that.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen, you know, in startup culture and all that sort of stuff is like, I'm an ideas person. And it's so funny how often the ideas never connect to actual execution. And if you don't have that, you don't have a company, you don't have a product, you don't actually have a way forward. So I think that's critical to actually connect those steps. So we've gone through a lot of really great thoughts here. And Marnie, I appreciate your letting me try to talk through all my feelings today and talk through all of the challenges that I find in marketing. But, you know, we've talked through a lot of things that medtech companies, hopefully other, you know, marketers can take from my needs and Marnie's counseling for me and think through sort of how to apply this to their own groups. You know, we've talked about why aligning is important, how to make sure your new messaging works and how to handle rolling it out. Marnie, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for, again, being my counselor, letting me vent. So it's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I love these conversations. Thank you so much.
It's for sure a blast. And thank you for all our listeners for joining us today. For more on the Health Connective Show, please visit hc.show for previous episodes and about Health Connective as a company.